Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Save big during Labor Day at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances. Plus, buy more to get up to an additional 20% off. Shop even more savings with 3 Stay-Green 1-cubic-foot vegetable and flower garden soil bags for $10. This Labor Day, take care of your home for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We welcome you to hour number 3, our third and final, live right here on this Wednesday morning on the Early Line on Sports Grid. He is Donnie. I am Ben. In this third and final hour, we'll wrap up our NFL offseason outlook conversation with a stop in Los Angeles and a veteran quarterback in Matthew Stafford by hearing from you in just a moment. And then we'll get you set for the stretch run of this NBA regular season, because officially the association back from the All-Star break tonight with only one game, a rescheduled game in Los Angeles that was originally slated for early January, of course postponed due to the devastating wildfires in Los Angeles. So it's the Lakers and the Hornets tonight in L.A. The only game late night. Will LeBron James play? What can we expect out of Luka Doncic after a couple of subpar performances so far in his Laker career? All of that coming your way in this third hour. We'll talk everything around the NBA with our coach J.Y. James Young later on, and of course, some college hoops handicaps on this Wednesday as well.
Absolutely. And will LeBron James be in uniform, or will he be around his team in uniform and still want to take a picture while he's not in uniform just to set up the second half of the season for the Los Angeles Lakers? A lot of question marks here coming up, but they will get answered over the final few weeks of the season.
That looked so dumb, by the way, Donnie. I actually saw it across my Twitter timeline earlier this week.
It looks great.
Yeah, LeBron James, like, in street clothes. Like, LeBron, you weren't injured enough that you couldn't put on the jersey with everybody. Anyway, that was a ridiculous thing. But, of course, LeBron James withdrawing from the All-Star Games on Sunday night due to an ankle-slash-foot injury that has been ailing him. I put my finger up, though, to ask Donnie Wrightside to play odds maker.
Yeah.
Match bet.
Okay.
Who is more likely to appear tonight? LeBron for the Lakers? Kevin Walsh on Sports Grid.
Oof. Now, let's play it out. Yeah, let's play it out, because, like, LeBron missed the All-Star game, which, you know, means a lot to him. Like, NBA players are the types that, like, you know what? I'd rather play in the All-Star game and risk me getting injured and miss 7 games of my teams, because that's just what we do here. I want to be in the spotlight. But the fact that he sat that out showed me, like, you know what? My ankle isn't right. We're playing in a competition that's not really what we're used to here. Let me sit this out so I can get ready for the second half of the season. So I'm going to go LeBron James is more likely to suit up tonight than Kevin Walsh is to make a guest appearance on Moneyline and or Game Time Decisions. Is, by the way, is that still his show? Is Game Time Decisions his show? Or
come
who's
on.
More show? Is that Ranieri's show? Whose is it? I don't know anymore.
You know, this was my fault. I should not have engaged. I was trying to have a little bit of fun right there, but I knew it would allow Donnie to
Is
do
it a new energy?
That.
I don't know.
My
Maybe
apologies.
Not. Yeah.
There is always a new energy. There's no doubt about that. By the way, it should be noted that K-Dub's off day is Wednesday, so it's not as though he's bailing on work. So, DRS, as we get ready for this third and final hour, and we'll focus on basketball basically for the remainder of it after this. In our second hour, we focused on the NFC playoff outlook for all 7 teams that made it to the postseason this past year and what the offseason holds entering 2025. The 7th and final playoff team, the LA Rams. A lot of conjecture about the quarterback in Los Angeles, Matthew Stafford. He wants to return, not going to retire for 2025, but will that be in LA? It was the question we had to ask all of you and Fade the Public. at SportsGrid on Twitter. Will Matthew Stafford be the quarterback for the Rams next season? Yes or no? Mm. Nearly 200 votes for this Fade the Public poll in Los Angeles, really just starting to get up right now. Probably see this on Spectrum Sports Net LA later today and then get more involved in this FTP poll. But still, most of the public DRS, more than 57% of the votes saying yes, Matthew Stafford is going to be the starting QB for the Rams next season. Donnie, you fade the public.
No, I'm with the public in this one. Yes, and by the way, it shouldn't be 57%. It should be 97%. I don't even know where this has started. I guess you could say it was actually his wife, you know, kicking around rumors. But let's get to the crux of the argument here. Matthew Stafford, since he's been in Los Angeles, has been great for them. They've won a Super Bowl, and outside of a blown assignment from a guard and a center, they're probably in the Super Bowl playing the Kansas City Chiefs and not the Philadelphia Eagles. So what has come up over the past couple weeks where does it look like Matthew Stafford is breaking down and his arm strength isn't there? Like, oh no, the end of a run, we can't afford anybody. You have the best young defensive line in football, some money to spend, the best young wide receiver in football on one side in Puka Nacua, and a chance to do damage next year while you play in a dome, which Stafford loves to be there, in Los Angeles, which he loves that city, but yet we're hearing rumors out of nowhere. It's like, boy, he would love to win three games with the Giants outdoor and get his head smashed into the carpet by the NFC East opponents. Like, I don't even understand. Like, and also, what is it? Like, my dream for McVay is, like, you know what, man, I always wanted Garoppolo to be my guy. Like, who are you going to from Stafford here? It makes no sense. So the fact only have 57% of the votes coming in for Stafford with the Rams, as if it's like, yeah, you know what? They already have a deal worked out. Stafford's going to Washington. Jaden Daniels is coming to the West Coast. Like, what is the move here that would even make sense for the Rams?
Well said, DRS. I'm fading the public because I'm fading the 42% of you that are saying Matthew Stafford is not going to be in L.A. It should be 100%. If it is not, I'll buy a Matthew Stafford Giants jersey and wear it here on the early line. Donnie, he's not leaving Los Angeles. My fiance Chloe is kind of obsessed with Kelly Stafford and the Stafford family because of the four little girls that she believes are super cute. So she listens to a well-named podcast the morning after that Kelly Stafford hosts. I feel like I'm more up to date on Stafford family drama than most. One of the reasons, even though I wouldn't really call it quantifiable, that maybe there was starting to be this speculation that Matthew Stafford would not want to return to Los Angeles was Kelly talking, as she often does, about Cooper Kupp now being dealt by LA and said something on her podcast. Not taken out of context, by the way. It was a clip produced by the social media team for her podcast the morning after that said, well, if you're trading Cooper Kupp, then what are you doing? Maybe we have to talk about our future as well. I'm sure Matthew saw that and said, Kelly, we've been doing this for too long. Please, please stop. But the main reason, Donnie, that this is even speculation at all is because Adam Schefter, in a rather innocuous tweet about Chad Hall, Kelly's brother, Matthew Stafford's brother-in-law, signing with the New York Giants as the assistant quarterback's coach under Brian Daboll. And in the tweet that announced that signing, Schefter, in my opinion, rather irresponsibly said Chad Hall, Matthew Stafford's brother-in-law, is signing with the Giants. That's like saying Donnie Wrightside, Joe Lisi's best friend, is hosting the early line. It has nothing to do with Donnie's responsibility here on TEL whatsoever. Chad Hall is not coming into the NFL for the first time. Chad Hall has been working in the NFL as an assistant coach since 2017. Has he ever worked in the same organization as Matthew Stafford? No. Has it ever even been speculation? No. Matthew Stafford is returning to Los Angeles. He just turned 37 years old. He wants to still be coached by Sean McVay, who is a bright offensive mind. Is he probably bummed that Cooper Kupp, his buddy, is now going to be dealt more than likely? I am sure. Is he personally maybe a little ticked off? Potentially. Is Puka Nacua still there? Is Kyron Williams still there? Will they return a lot of the offensive line and make it a priority to sign Alaric Jackson? Absolutely. Do they have a bright and promising young defense who they can build off two consecutive years of playoff trips? Yes. Matthew Stafford is the quarterback for the Rams in 2025.
Maybe we give a little more credit to Chad Hall. Did he pull Nathaniel Hackett? Like, hey, man, I'm going to go to Denver because I'm going to bring Aaron with me. The minute I get the job, Aaron goes somewhere else. Like, hey, still wound up with a job here. Like, that's the only thing feasible at this point. And you could say, like, well, Matthew Stafford's going to go to the Giants because they won 13 games last year, and he's the missing piece. You could even get him. So, you know what? Matthew Stafford goes to the Minnesota Vikings, and that would be like, you know what? Dome stadium, used to that conference and division, and he can win there. The fact that it's the Giants getting the questions is hilarious.
Matthew Stafford will be in L.A. If not, I buy it. Up next, more on you.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A Wednesday night in the association. We are officially back from the All-Star break in the NBA. Everybody gets underway tomorrow. A ton of great games on Thursday and Friday. Much fuller slates. But we do have one game tonight. A standalone game in Los Angeles between the Lakers and the Hornets. It's not to highlight LeBron James and Luka Doncic, now a Los Angeles Laker. It is a rescheduled game from early January due to the devastating wildfires at the time in Los Angeles. So postponed until this date on a Wednesday after the All-Star game. Donnie, let me start with something first and foremost. Because it is a rescheduled and makeup game, it's not like it's been moved up to an earlier window. Still on the West Coast, usual home game for the Lakers, 10 p.m. Eastern time. Does that anger you at all?
No, it doesn't anger me at all, because maybe the NBA knows something that we don't know either, because both of these teams, Ben, tomorrow, they're also on back-to-backs. So maybe that changes the outlook for some of the superstar players that could be playing or not playing on this game. Which would they like to do? Play tonight here, or let me get an extra day of rest for a certain superstar in LeBron James. So the NBA had to put this game somewhere. It's just a shame that they're both on back-to-backs starting tomorrow again right out of the gate.
Yeah, so it didn't really make a ton of sense to kind of change the originally scheduled logistics.
Yeah.
Now, not just both of these teams getting underway after the All-Star break. Of course, availability will be a question tonight. LeBron James did not play in his 21st consecutive or 22nd consecutive All-Star game on Sunday night due to what he said was an ailing ankle and foot injury. When you look at the points props listed, LeBron James does have one at 22.5, as does Luka Doncic at 26 in a hook. Two games for Luka, DRS in the purple and gold. Hasn't been overwhelmingly fantastic. Hasn't scored more than 15 points in his two games. Not just his first two games in LA, but also his first two games since Christmas. Maybe he's had some time through the All-Star break to rest up, to get even healthier and perform well tonight. But these two teams also kind of tied in a weird way. Of course, there was the trade also during deadline week that seemed to be a big one for the Lakers that did not happen. That was going to send Dalton Knecht to Charlotte and Mark Williams, the Hornets big man, to Los Angeles. That trade was rescinded due to what everybody is saying was a failed physical for Mark Williams. He is expected to play tonight. Dalton Knecht back in Los Angeles after a great All-Star weekend on that champion Rising Stars team. 12.5 point spread, DRS. How do you start to break it down?
Yeah, it's here's what I need to know too. Like, NBA beat writers, did Luka Doncic stay in town in Los Angeles, work on his game, get cardiovascular up, or did he actually bounce out and go like overseas to party with the boys because it was a long break and then he's just going to show up on Monday and try to get back into shape for a game that's going to be played on a Wednesday night? That's going to be interesting. But for me, just using what I know about professional sports, when you break it up the monotony of the season where the players used to shoot around working out in regular season mode and you send them away on vacation, sometimes that first game back is a little bit hairy, which leads me to believe that I would look at this game and probably just take the 12.5 points, because I'm not saying the Hornets are good. They're not. But multiple superstars like Luka Doncic, we're still worried about him. Is LeBron James going to play in this game then sit out tomorrow? Because he's not playing in back-to-back games. And if LeBron sits out, that number is going to go from 12.5 down to what? 6.5 or 7.5 at that point if LeBron isn't in there. So for me, I just lean on non-handicapping skills based on X's and O's and just look at, hey, I'm getting almost two touchdowns here coming off of a break. If they get beat by 40, so be it.
And the Hornets are a really good underdog team, one of the best covering teams as a dog in all of the NBA, 27-17-2 against the spread. That's being booked as an underdog 46 times in a total of 52 games. The Hornets have only played 52 games. That's one of like the lower amounts we have seen before the All-Star break. But DRS, when you're booked as an underdog that often, you are comfortable with the spots. The Hornets did drop 9 of their last 10 entering the All-Star break, including 3 straight. The Lakers did weirdly lose an uncharacteristic game against the Jazz by double digits, but still entered the All-Star break playing great ball even before that blockbuster deal to acquire Luka Doncic. They had won 12 of their final 15 before the All-Star break, covering in 10 of those 12 wins, 15-14-1 against the spread. I would lean with you, DRS, probably a Lakers win, but a Hornets cover just because the spread is double digits. Luka Doncic, by the way, in his two games, 24 minutes in his Lakers debut, 14 points, 5 boards, 4 dimes, then played 23 minutes a couple of nights later in Salt Lake, only 16 points, 4 boards, 4 dimes. Again, you would expect more now out of the All-Star break, some time to get up to speed in Los Angeles and with a few additional days off. We'll see, though, Donnie. 26.5 is the points prop for Doncic.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm probably still going to go to the under because, once again, do we know what if he was at home working on his game, yes, then you look for probably one of those. Charlotte doesn't play a lot of defense here. Charlotte's bad. You should blow them out, and he should be able to get one of those games. Okay, I'm finally a Laker here. Let's jumpstart this season. Let me get back to my 27-7-6 type of performances that you're going to need out of him if you want to do any damage in the Western Conference playoffs. But the first two games didn't show me a lot. Maybe the break's going to help him out, but again, not playing really playing recreational basketball, as I said, as a playing in the regular season, completely different. I'm not buying into Luka Doncic's points prop until, Ben, he shows me he's bought back into his points props on the court.
Very well said, DRS. Let's get to some college basketball action as well. Still the number one team in the country for a sixth consecutive week. That's the Auburn Tigers at home tonight after the huge road win on Saturday in Tuscaloosa in that matchup of 1-2. Enter John Calipari and his Razorbacks. 16.5-point spread in favor of Auburn at home now. Total 152 and a hook. Can the Hogs even keep this game close tonight on the Plains?
I don't know if they do. And the case in point is Arkansas's offense is really bad in the SEC. You take a look at the effective field goal percentage, 15th in the conference, but then you take a look also at effective field goal percentage for all Auburn's defense, number one in conference play. They'll chase you off the three-point line. They'll defend it well. And also, you don't really score and have that big of an impact down low. The one thing that could keep the game close, Auburn does like the foul. So Arkansas stealing free throw attempts here from Auburn could help out. But for me, it's probably an Arkansas team total is the most likely outcome for me versus Auburn.
So a big game for Auburn on Saturday, not just because of the rivalry or the history of 1-2, but also to stay atop the SEC. We'll talk more about that up next on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The number one team in the nation returns home tonight. Auburn, a 16.5-point favorite now against Arkansas. It has not been a successful first season under Coach Cal in Fayetteville. An Arkansas team right now, DRS, at 4-8 straight up in SEC play. They did lose by 8 on the road over the weekend against A&M. They closed as a 7-7.5-point underdog. The Hogs had, though, played better basketball in their last four games, winning 3 of 4, including covering in 4 straight, 3 in a row as an underdog. Arkansas probably not going to pull off the upset tonight. Can they stay within the number? That is the question. The Tigers, 11-1 straight up at SEC play, just 6-6 against the spread. And I did want to make this point, DRS. With the rivalry on Saturday in Tuscaloosa, the history for the first ever AP 1-2 in SEC men's basketball ever. It was also a huge game just for the conference standings. Both Auburn and Alabama entered at 10-1. The Tigers still atop the SEC, 11-1. The Crimson Tide now 10-2. More than likely, Auburn wins tonight. They take a two-game advantage over Florida in the SEC standings. Of course, the Gators have the direct head-to-head tiebreaker. But you and I just looked at Auburn's schedule down the stretch in their final six SEC games. It's not exactly easy. And the FanDuel Sportsbook lists Auburn as a minus 600 favorite to win the SEC regular season crown. Now, we give Auburn the benefit of the doubt as the best team in the country, probably should be favored, or even if a slight underdog in road games, we probably think they could win it outright. But it's not necessarily like Auburn can just walk to the SEC regular season championship.
No, you're right. And also, what are the effects of we just had a Titanic 1-2 combo game on Saturday, and now we wind up here on Tuesday against a team we should easily handle by two touchdowns? Is there sort of a buyback? Because Arkansas is not a top 150 team sitting at 149. Like, they're a legitimate threat. They're in the SEC, and they do have talent. Yeah. I don't think they match up all that well, but some of those things have to play into it, because sometimes when we talk about SEC football, you cannot talk about the same way with SEC basketball. There are no breathers. Like, your breather isn't the Citadel coming to town tonight to take on Auburn. The breather is Arkansas coming to town. Cal's Arkansas team that can hang around and do some damage. And also, talking about your point, minus 600 to minus 700, let's just say, to win the SEC. You slip up one or two games here. Like, again, you're not having, like, hey, they only have one ranked opponent on the rest of the way out. Should be easy wins all the way through. That's not the case.
They've got a rematch at home against Alabama to end out the regular season. And speaking of the Crimson Tide, they fall to number four in the country. If you haven't been paying attention, though, elsewhere in the SEC, what Dennis Gates has done this year in Columbia, Missouri for the Tigers has been sensational. Missouri now number 15 in the country, so a top 15 tilt tonight in Mizzou. The Tigers an ever so slight favorite DRS against Alabama, but it's basically a pick 'em. Who wins tonight in Columbia?
Yeah, that's an interesting number, too, because, again, I'm looking a lot towards unders, and a team total under for Missouri makes sense, even though their offense is good, but it's just the way the layout actually is. Alabama's not going to force a lot of turnovers, which is actually good for the Missouri offense. But understand this, no team in conference play in the SEC gets to the line more than Missouri. How about that? Number one in conference play, but also you take a look at a stingy defense that doesn't foul that much in Alabama. Now you take a look at the three-point shooting here, which Missouri is very good at. Second in conference play, close to 38%. But understand this, number three in conference at defending the three-point line and number one in conference at chasing you off of the three-point line is what Alabama does. Then we take a look at the point distribution, Ben, from inside the arc. You know, 16 out of 16 teams, it's Missouri. Do you know who's number one at giving up points inside the arc? It's Alabama. So now you're saying, all right, Missouri can score at the rim, but they don't really want to. Missouri wants to shoot the three-point shot, which you're going to limit, and Alabama's not going to foul that much, and Missouri likes to get to the free throw line. So those are some of the things I look at, which I do think Alabama has a chance to win this game, but look at that total, 170.5. If Missouri just has a slight off, 3 to 4 minutes on offense, they're not going to be able to hit their team total. So for me, it would be Missouri team total to the under tonight, as opposed to just taking the side with Alabama.
That's a ridiculously high total for college basketball. It makes sense. Most of them are upper 160s, low 170s for Alabama anyway. 174.5 at close against Auburn on Saturday. The Crimson Tide play at the fastest tempo in college basketball, according to KenPom. And their defense is never going to be top 15, top 20. Just not the style of play that Nate Oates has orchestrated. But they're better on defense this year than they were a season ago outside of the top 110 in college hoops. The best cover team, though, in SEC play, that's Missouri. They are 10-2 against the number. What a great game tonight in Mizzou Arena in Columbia, which is basically every night in the SEC. We'll have more around college basketball later. JY joins us next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The All-Star break in the NBA officially comes to a close today with the standalone game in Los Angeles between the Lakers and the Hornets. So, as we have shared, we are well past the midway point of this NBA campaign as we get ready not for the second half, but the stretch run for everybody around the association after the All-Star break. Our coach is here to get you set for it all. James Young, JY, joins us for the next and final half hour here on this Wednesday on the Early Line. JY, we appreciate the time as always. Excited to go around the association with you.
It's the end of February, stretch run of basketball, tournament time coming. A lot of JY time maybe coming on the Early Line the next couple of months, folks.
We love that. We love that, JY. We do indeed. JY, you were here on the Early Line during Super Bowl week. So Donnie was in New Orleans. But with Ranieri and myself during deadline week in the NBA, we told everybody, put a pin in these NBA championship odds. Remember where they are now, entering the deadline. Remember where they will be in about a week and a half during the All-Star break. And here we go down the stretch run. The Celtics remain the short favorites to win that NBA championship, but only a quarter in front of OKC at 2-1. The Cavaliers, who alongside OKC tied for the best record at the All-Star break, 44-10, that third best price at 9-1. JY, we'll get to value in maybe an NBA championship pick that you like based on those odds in just a moment. But as you look at the odds board, what's the number one storyline, headline, narrative that stands out to you?
The fact that the Celtics are just overwhelming favorites over Cleveland. This is a humongous number over $7. And listen, we understand that Cleveland has the best record. Boston, I do believe, got the win versus Cleveland in the last matchup. But there's more about the fact of who's been there and who's done it versus who hasn't done it. And I think that I find it interesting because a Boston team that even though they have the second-best record in the Eastern Conference, there are times where you question their play and their focus, also their propensity to rely, Ben, on the three-point shot. Probably going to shatter NBA records for number of threes taken and threes made. So that lends itself to, in a seven-game series, can you catch them on cold shooting nights? I think Cleveland still gets disrespected a little bit, and we talked about this when I was on during Super Bowl week. I love the addition of DeAndre Hunter. I think this is a perfect guy for that team. His ability to be a 3-and-D guy, I would almost equate him to a poor man's OG Anunoby, probably not talked about as much, but similar type of game. But what that allows with DeAndre Hunter at 6'9 to do, Ben, is it allows Cleveland to play two ways. They can go really big, which they've started with 6'9", 6'11", 7 foot, with Mobley and Allen, but then you can go small a little bit because DeAndre is good enough rebounder and defender inside where you can play him at the four with Mobley or Allen. So I think this trade's a lot better than people think. It brings their level of game up and makes them a real contender in the East for the NBA title.
We take a look at contenders and pretenders so much. Let's just say the under 20-1 teams here. The team I look at right there, the Lakers at the FanDuel Sportsbook coach, 18-1. Are they more contender than pretender or the opposite way around in your mind?
To me, in my mind, when the Mark Williams trade fell through, they went to more of a pretender than contender for me. Because when you look at the West, who may they have to go through? They got to go through Joker. You know, they got to go through, Anthony Davis. If he's healthy, right? You look at the Hartenstein Holmgren front court. You look at Alperen Şengün, right? You look at Rudy Gobert. I think the Lakers have a problem on the defensive end of the floor in the front court. You lose your best rebounder and you lose your best rim protector in Anthony Davis. Guys, they have to go get Alex Len off the scrap heap and literally take him off the scrap heap and almost put him into the starting lineup because Jackson Hayes can't do it for you. So to me, because of the fact that trade got rescinded for whatever reasons medically, I personally think Lakers pretenders more than contenders.
And we saw a ton of movement for the Lakers in the odds board, of course, after the acquisition of Luka Doncic. But there's movement, and then there's actually cashing the ticket. We'll talk more about the Western Conference in just a moment. JY, you highlighted the Cleveland Cavaliers, a 9-1 price, a 44-10 record for Cleveland this year, a 5.5 game advantage over the Celtics, the reigning champs, to be that one seed in the Eastern Conference. And as we have shared, There's only about 25 games left this season. It's hard to make up that much ground, a 5.5 game lead, even though we are just at the All-Star break. So the Cavaliers could be a test for Boston. Is Cleveland the best challenger for the Seas, who are a minus 150 favorite to win the Eastern Conference crown again? Or could it be somebody else? Maybe even your New York Knicks.
Well, I'm going to preface it by saying this. If the Knicks can get healthy, right? OG Anunoby had the toe injury. Looks like he's back. To me, guys, it's Mitchell Robinson. Now, people look at me saying, Mitchell Robinson is a big difference maker? Absolutely. You're talking about the premier offensive rebounder league. Remember, in his first 15 games last year, him and Dennis Rodman were the only two guys to get 3+ O boards a game. He gives you extra possessions. He's also a great rim protector and shot blocker, and we've seen Cat be a better defender, ready, lined up with a shot-blocking five. Think of Rudy Gobert. If you think about the Western Conference, that's why a guy like Jaren Jackson Jr. is better defensively next to a Zach Edey, or back in the day next to a Steven Adams. So if Mitchell Robinson is healthy and they get OG back, I think the Knicks could become the biggest contenders to Cleveland, because when Cleveland sees Mitchell Robinson, that kid beats up those two bigs inside. I think the Knicks, if healthy, standalone is their biggest contender. But the problem with the Knicks, Ben, you know this, they have to shore up a Tom Thibodeau team. Think about this, on the defensive end of the floor. And I think that's where Mitchell Robinson can kind of catch up with a lot of your mistakes, because if you funnel teams to the rim, you got a really big-time shot blocker or rebounder to protect you down low.
Coach, talk to me here about the Milwaukee Bucks at this point. Giannis obviously banged up a little bit coming back. Still have Damian Lillard. Could they be a factor in the Eastern Conference playoffs, maybe even making an Eastern Conference Finals run for you?
I don't think so, because my concern with them is the defensive side of the ball and the ability to stop players. I know Andre Jackson has become their de facto defender. And to me, the Kyle Kuzma trade was like the Bucks trying to, like, win now, win later. And I'm concerned about their age there. If you were to tell me a team in the East to watch out for, I know they have been really bad, but they've battled injuries. If Orlando can get it right and they struggle to shoot the ball, that is a team that will get you in an absolute dogfight defensively. Mm. And they play Jamal Mosley's team as hard as anybody in the league. Bankero Wagner, they can stay healthy and they can shoot the ball a little bit better. That team's as good as they are defensively in the Eastern Conference, and they could give teams fits in the playoffs, including the Knicks, if they get to the sixth seed.
JY, similar questions in the Western Conference. Boston, a minus 150 favorite to win the East. OKC, a minus 130 favorite to win the Western Conference crown. Unlike the Celtics, though, the Thunder more than likely will be the one seed out West. They have an 8-game advantage over the Memphis Grizzlies at the All-Star break. But Oklahoma City, not exactly the most proven pedigree come the postseason with this group just yet. Final minute of this segment. Who is OKC's best challenger in the Western Conference?
Well, the Joker is going to try and drag them to the finish line. Minnesota is so intriguing, guys, because they're so flighty, and if they get it right, they can be dangerous. But the team I want to watch is, ready? Houston. They defend. Emeka's got a track record. They play the right way, and they got baby Joker Alfred Jokun, who you and I have been talking about since the day he got drafted. That team is really dangerous, and in a year, if they get Kevin Durant in the summer, that could be a team in the future out West.
The Rockets on a little bit of a slide entering the All-Star break, but can they respond out of it? We'll talk the individual races, like that MVP chase, next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The coach is here to get you set for the stretch run around the NBA after the All-Star break that officially begins tonight. It's JY's scouting report to get you ready for all that we will see in the NBA the remainder of this regular season, and of course, in a playoff and postseason basketball, not all that long from now, just about 2 months of time. JY, we talk teams, we talk conference outlook, playoff standings, all of that. Now we go to the individual race. for the MVP award. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Nikola Jokic. The Joker looking to win his fourth in the last 5 years to become the sixth NBA player ever to win four MVP nods. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander leading the NBA in scoring at nearly 33 points per game, a part of the best team in the NBA atop the Western Conference in OKC, is the hefty favorite at minus 440. JY, I'm not going to ask you if the MVP race is done. My question will be, how close and competitive can it get down the stretch run of this regular season?
I don't think it's going to get terribly close, Ben. Maybe a little bit shorter, but I don't think the odds moving as much. One, because of the fact that OKC has just an absolute huge lead, even on Denver, who I do believe right now is the three seed. And if you really think about the schedule the rest of the way, Oklahoma City, 13th toughest schedule the rest of the way. Denver, third toughest. So to me, I don't even see Denver making like even a push towards it. So to me, when I look at it, I don't think it gets much closer than this. SGA leads the league in scoring, 20th in assists. Team's going to run away with the number one seed. Also, the fact we talked about in the past, voter fatigue. Who's the next crop? SGA wins the MVP. And I don't think the odds move much.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, too, because the only way he could possibly lose out is if they really just drop off. He gets injured at the end of the season, and that's the way it goes at that point. So for me, I do agree with Coach on this one. I don't think it's changing, and you're right. The voter fatigue is a big reason as well. If we're looking at other markets, yeah, Victor Wembanyama, Defensive Player of the Year, minus 2,400. No real arguments here, but we do have a good case here, Coach. NBA Rookie of the Year. Castle's only a plus 120 price here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Where Ricochet and Wells right behind him. Have we made up our minds on Rookie of the Year? Because by the way, these odds look at, hey, there's a lot to be determined over the final stretch run here in the NBA.
No, there really is. And it's really about when you look at Stephon Castle, how are they going to use him, right? Are they going to give him big minutes, or are they going to troll out 94-year-old Chris Paul and play him too many minutes, which could hurt his development? So to me, that's what you have to look at. Where's been coming on strong? I like that 4-5 combination with Bam. But then you look at a guy like Ricochet, now with the fact of DeAndre Hunter move and Jalen Johnson out, there's more opportunity for minutes for this young kid. So I wouldn't be mind if Ricochet makes one final maybe push the last 20 or so games. But to me, it's more about how the Spurs use Castle. If they let him play and play a ton, then he should be the Rookie of the Year. But in this market, more than anyone, that, and I would say, the most improved player are the ones that are going to be the most fluid the rest of the way.
So let's talk about most improved, JY. At the season ended today, your Detroit Pistons would be a playoff team in the Eastern Conference, not even a play-in team. They would be the sixth seed in that Eastern Conference playoff picture. And Cade Cunningham, most improved, the odds-on favorite right now at minus 115, but an ever-so-slight money. And who's right behind him? Donnie's guy. Thus, the early lines guy in the Clippers, Norm Powell. Death, taxes, three made threes for Powell, night in, night out around the association, a plus 110 number. JY, do you feel the race for the MIP is up in the air?
I really do, and it's really going to be a two-horse race. Tyler Hero was in it for a while. Now he's dropped off to 19-1, but when you look at it, Norman Powell, by the way, shout out. Thanks, LeBron James, for not backing out of the All-Star game time, because you basically took Norman Powell's spot in the All-Star game. So shout out to Norman Powell, who should have been an All-Star. But to me, you know, because of the fact of the Clippers overachieving, right, we didn't expect much out of them. And the way they've been playing, that is a great story. But we also got to give the credit to J.B. Bickerstaff, who got ran out of Cleveland. Not for what he does in a regular season, it's what he does in the playoffs. Him with young guys, it seems to work. And it's more, honestly, not just about Cade's development. It's also, Ben, you notice, about availability. Cade's played the big chunk of games, and he's been really, really good. For a good story in Detroit, that if they can make the playoffs, would be fabulous for the NBA in the Eastern Conference.
Sometimes, JY, I take a look at some of these awards, and I scratch my head just a little bit. And sometimes in the NFL, it's like, hey, you know what? The best offensive player of the year, the quarterback wins the MVP, but he's not the best offensive player. So, that doesn't make a lot of sense. Let's look at the clutch player awards here. Because if you just go side by side with, you know, SGA and Nikola Jokic, it's like, man, they're really close together. What could decide it? How about the most clutch player in the NBA being right now Nikola Jokic at a plus 130 price, but he's so clutch, he can't be the MVP. Help me out.
Yeah, well, we talked about it. It's a voter fatigue, and it's such a subjective award. It's really about how you look at it. To me, you look at Jalen Brunson at 4-1, because at the end of every close game, and the Knicks would be a lot of them, and they have a tough schedule down the stretch, he's going to get the ball in his hands. Because Tibbs ain't going to run anything. It's going to be give the ball to Brunson and let him work and try and create a shot. Look at that. One award that I do want to mention quickly is Peyton Pritchard being minus 160. I've been saying for months it should go to DeAndre Hunter. Now, DeAndre Hunter is in the starting lineup. But remember, folks, the voting is for six man. You just have to come off the bench more games than starting. And if he starts every game the rest of the way, he still would qualify for six man of the year. I don't know how that impacts voting, but DeAndre Hunter, sixth man of the year, plus 340, depends on how people vote on it, could be a play that you may want to look at as well.
Although JY is my guy, Drew Carter, who is the play-by-play voice for the Boston Celtics, would say, Pritch better have my money. So when you have a catchy phrase like that, kind of carries over into the voter narrative. We got to say adieu to Donnie Wrightside now as he gets ready for the money line, JY. Yeah, a Donnie fade away to the break and into the money line?
Hold on, get me loose. Get me my neck roll. Yeah.
On a Wednesday by himself on the money line. Might even have to produce today. He doesn't know. Yep. He'll find out in just a couple of minutes. The RS
Anybody
will
listening?
Talk to you tomorrow. JY and I will handicap a couple of games up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Nice to be here on this final segment of 3 hours on the early line, not by myself, James Young. JY still with us here to end out this Wednesday edition of the early line on Sports Grid. I'm a little bit high. Let me get down a little bit. We got too many games to handicap to worry about where the camera is. JY, we start with the standalone game in the NBA. The rescheduled game from early January due to the devastating wildfires in Los Angeles tonight for the first game after the All-Star break in the association. The Lakers at home. 12.5-point favorite against the Charlotte Hornets. A total now at 228. Of course, JY, first game after the break. Availability is a question. We expect to see Luka Doncic for his third game in the purple and gold, but LeBron James, who did not play on All-Star Sunday night due to an ankle-slash-foot injury, does have props listed currently on the FanDuel Sportsbook. With availability a concern, how do you look at that 12.5-point spread?
Well, I have a little bit concerned here, but to me, you know, I got to make sure that LeBron's in the lineup, right? And even though that his props are out, you never know with LeBron. He may pull out 30 minutes before game time, like he did on Sunday. So to me, when you look at the game, you can look at the totals here. I think this game could go over because I think you're going to get Luka start to settle in, right? He's got a couple of days of practice. The rustiness of being injured before it should have worn off, you know. So I think I like the game to go over. I think Luka shoots the ball and plays extremely well tonight. I want people to kind of get a little bit nervous here about the fact that Austin Reeves looked really good the first couple of games. That's because Luka's settling in. So if I think Luka's starting to go off, I think that Austin Reeves, although his usage rate was still pretty good to put the ball in his hands, comes down. Luka, big night. Look for the game to go over because of the firepower of the Lakers offensively.
26.5 is the points prop for Luka Doncic. 16 points in his second game in Salt Lake, 14 points in his Lakers debut. You would expect to see more of a scoring production for the guy that has the third highest scoring average in his career in NBA history, only behind MJ and Wilt. JY, quickly here, let's talk a couple of SEC games. Number one team in the country, Auburn, 16.5-point favorite, hosting Arkansas tonight. The team that Auburn beat on Saturday in Tuscaloosa, that's now number four, Alabama. in an even pick'em on the road in Columbia in a top 15 tilt against Missouri. Either of those two games, any bet you want to throw out there, what do you like tonight in the SEC slate?
Well, I think I like, you know, Auburn to go to team total over. I think offensively they'll be able to score against an Arkansas team that's really been all over the map. This can show you that just because you get $5 million in NIL money doesn't guarantee you wins and success. Roster construction is important. When you go to the Alabama-Missouri game, Alabama is such a great team offensively, struggle to shoot the ball from three. I think they get better tonight. I do like them to win outright. I know Donnie had talked about, and you talked about defensively for Alabama. Why are they better this year? It's simple. Cliff Amore at the center position. I've always been concerned, even last year, with Grant Nelson as a five getting beat up. You move Grant to the four where he's more comfortable and he doesn't have to deal with bully ball at centers. So I do like Alabama. And lastly, we were talking about during the break, Kentucky -4.5. Like, people are scratching their heads, and the line's moving down. I do like Kentucky minus the points tonight. I think Vanderbilt's starting to ride off to the sunset. And right there, right up top, Slick Rick the Ruler, St. John's -12.5 on the road. If you're nervous, how about taking DePaul team total under 65.5? St. John's 4 last opponents, I think, under that number. They are the second best defensive team in the country. Slick Rick's team, especially on the road, will defend, because what happens is they struggle to shoot from three. They got to play half-court basketball, which is weird because when you think of Patino, you think about pressing. No, with Patino this year, it's half-court defense. St. John's holds the ball under 65.5 points.
The Johnnies still played the fastest tempo in the Big East, but the second most efficient defense, because they can grind you out in those half-court sets when you are on offense. And DePaul has made a couple of strides this year under Chris Holtmann, still only 2-13 in Big East play. That Kentucky Vandy line now working against the Cats, down to 4.5. Kentucky without a couple of key contributors like Jackson Robinson. Kirk Crease has been out for a while. But that one is very, very stinky. Big one for Nebraska on the road against a Penn State team that has lost 7 in a row. A couple of more wins for the Huskers. I would say they are an NCAA tournament lock. JY, as always, we appreciate the time. Thanks for being here in the final half hour of this Wednesday show. I guess a fadeaway to Thursday. We'll be back 8 a.m. Eastern time tomorrow on The Grid.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, and Emory Education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
This Labor Day at Lowe's, shop member-only doorbuster deals for a limited time. Save $50 on an Ego string trimmer, now $169. Plus, get 50% off select Holland pavers. Not a rewards member? Sign up for free today. But hurry, Labor Day doorbuster deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 9/1 while supplies last. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.